Testing. Hey, there we go. Man, I thought Brother Steve was pulling a quick one on me. Said 20 minutes on the battery. Psych, it was only 2 minutes. Oh, man. Well, before I get too far into it this evening, I just first want to say thank you to Preacher for the opportunity to preach this evening. I count it a blessing and a privilege to be able to come before you all this evening and open up God's Word. And so I'm excited, and I'll be honest, the sermon I'm preaching tonight is, I guess I could say the format in which I'm preaching is different than how I was taught at Bible college. And when you're at Bible college, there's a specific way you're taught to develop a sermon, start the sermon, write the sermon, and this is just not that sermon. The Lord led me in a different direction, so I'm nervous on it, but just bear with me this evening, and we'll get through it, amen? So first of all, just wanted to thank Pastor for the opportunity to preach this evening, like I said. And I also just wanted to say to those who sent Christmas cards over the holiday season, just thank you for my wife and I. I don't know if I got around to say thank you to every one of you, each and every one of you, but I just wanted to say thank you for sending my wife and I those Christmas cards. And I like seeing them. I like seeing the family photos in them, because I know there was work and there was effort that went into taking that photo, especially if you have little ones. Here recently, when my wife and I were in Colorado, we took family photos, and I have three nephews, all under the age of 5. And that is hard for boys to do, is stand there and smile long enough for the photo to be taken. At one moment, we were all there trying to take the photo, and I was recording it, and one of my nephews, he's looking at the camera. And the moment my brother-in-law says, smile, he looks up at his mom. My brother-in-law goes, really? The last second you changed directions? So regardless, I just want to say thank you, church, for your Christmas cards. And those were a blessing. And also thank you to those that prayed for my wife and I while we were making our way to Colorado. I don't know what Pastor told you or not, but our flight got delayed by 6 hours or something like that, and so we were going to end up taking off at 3:30 a.m., but luckily the Lord was able to help us out, and your prayers worked because our flight got bumped up to 1:30 a.m., so we didn't leave as early, but we still left pretty early. But with that being said, while my wife and I were in Colorado, we were able to go to the church I grew up going to, which is First Baptist Church of Inglewood, and it was great to be back, and it was great to be a part of the services there. And one thing they do at the church there is every year the church has a Christmas cantata. The choir director will get a whole bunch of songs ready for a Sunday, and the choir will perform a Christmas cantata. And growing up, I've always been able to watch them and be a part of them. But even as a teenager, I was able to be in the choir, and it was great. But this year, I found out he was doing a different type of cantata, and it was with new songs and just a different arrangement, so I was excited to hear it. And my wife and I were able to be a part of it, or listen to it, rather, and it was a joy, church. Amen. I mean, I sent it to Pastor because I said, Preacher, you gotta listen to this. This was God-honoring music. And I wish I could share it with all of you, and maybe this evening I'll send the link out. But while I listened to the choir sing, there were many great songs that were sung. But there was one song in particular that stood out. And it was sung by a young teenage girl who I've known since before she was even born. And the song was about the presence of Christ. And the song was about, you know, out of everything in Christmas, Lord, we want your presence this Christmas. And that's a song with a good message in it. But while she was singing it, she sang some words that just caught my attention. And I want to share those with you this evening. And it's part of how this message came to be. While she sang the song, the lyrics she sang were these. When the holiday is through and the year is fresh and new, what will linger are the moments spent worshiping you. Let me read that one more time. When the holiday is through and the year is fresh and new, what will linger are the moments spent just worshiping you. And when I heard those lyrics, I thought, man, those are pretty good words. They're simple words, but they're powerful words. And I couldn't help but just be reminded of those words constantly, even after the cantata. And it's true, the new year is exciting. I mean, we're entering into the new year, and it's exciting. I can see the looks on your faces. You're excited for the new year. Well, at least I hope so. It's fresh, it's new, and there's a lot to look forward to. But before we get too far into the new year, I can't help but think back to those words that were sang at the cantata, especially the last phrase. What will linger are the moments spent just worshiping you. There's a lot that happens over a year, is there not? There's a lot of events that take place. For instance, you've got your birthdays, you've got graduation, you've got weddings, you've got babies that are born. Everyone likes a baby that's born. You've got spring, summer, fall. In Texas, I guess we're going to get a winter. So you get winter in Texas. There's always church. Every year, there's always church. There's funerals that will take place throughout the year. Families will move. Taxes will go up, and taxes will go down. Especially this past year, our church had a flood. Throughout the years, especially this past year, we lost some loved ones. They passed away, or they moved away, or they left. But we gained some loved ones. I mean, Brother Josiah and Miss Haven are here, and the Estradas, and Brother Everett, and we love them. I mean, I love you guys. I don't know about them, but I love you guys, and I'm happy you're here in the services and getting to know the new members. It's exciting. There's a lot of events that take place throughout the year. Now, not every year is the same. I understand that. Every year is different. But a lot of events that take place, they're the same. Wouldn't you agree that most of the events that take place are the same? Now, if you were to also look back, maybe not on just this past year, but years prior, couldn't you say that we've all had different times throughout the year, different seasons throughout the year too? Let me explain that. Throughout maybe this past year, you've had some bad times. Anyone had some bad times, some difficult times? Maybe you did have some difficult times, but you also had some good times, some joyful times. Not only are the events different that take place in people's lives throughout the year, but what people do throughout the year is different as well. And I got a quick comprehensive list together of what things that people do throughout the year. And it was interesting to read, and I'll hurry because Pastor told me I only have 30 minutes, and so that changes my sermon. But I was able to look up what are things that people do throughout the year, because I'm sure we all want to know, what does everyone do throughout the year? And so I'll make this a quick one. But I found out that the average person will work 2,080 hours a year. That's if you were working a regular 40-hour work week. And if you were in 1 year, if you watch TV, they say that the average person will watch 28 hours of TV per week, or an average of about 2 months of nonstop TV. Now, I'm sure many of you here are probably binge watchers. I don't know about that, but it might be longer, it might be shorter. But anyway, that's how long a person might spend their time throughout the years watching TV. This one, it shouldn't be a shock to anyone, but the time spent on social media. How much time a person spends on social media? One article said that a person spends around 2 hours and 24 minutes on social media every day, and they check their phone 159 times in a day. Now, don't go trying that or checking, you know, like, okay, I'm on number. I saw Brother Greg check his phone, so he's probably at 160 times a day, but we don't know. But on average, 4 trillion hours will be sent on social media per year. It's shocking. And if you were to look up the average of how often a person goes to a sporting event or attends it, it's about 7 hours a year, which was shocking. The time spent sleeping was about 122 days of consistent sleep if you slept 8 hours. But that must have been for those who don't have children, because I'm sure that's less. But as I was looking up, you know, different studies, different statistics, I wanted to get a little more personal. And I looked up how much time a family spends around the dinner table. You know, how much time would one family spend around the dinner table? Or how much time does a family spend together? My research was inconclusive, leading me to believe this. Either families don't spend enough time together, or they spend too much time together that they can't calculate it. I'm hoping for the second one rather than the first one. But like I said, we spend a lot of time doing different things throughout the year. But I'm brought back to those words saying at that cantata, when the holiday is through and the year is fresh and new, what will linger are the moments spent just worshiping you. You know, there's something that research can't put a number on, and that's how often we worship the Lord. Not only publicly, but privately. No person can put a cap on that. Because that time spent with God is too significant to count. It means too much to us. And with that being said, tonight, I want us to take a look back on the year. But I want us to focus on this one aspect. What has God meant to you throughout that year? And I'd like tonight to speak about the Lord, if I may. Now, I have to be honest. Has anyone here ever tried to brag about someone who means a lot to them? You try to come up with the words to illustrate how much they mean to you. And so, you know, if you had to present before someone or you had a, you were to bring someone in. So you were to say some nice things about them. And I want you to imagine you're introducing God to a group of people. What words would come to your mind? Would any? I was trying to think of some words that would come to mind bringing up the sermon, but the only thing that could come to my mind was tears. Now, not tears of sadness, no. Tears of joy. Tears of happiness. Tears of humility because of how good God has been to me throughout the year. If you were to look up how many times the word God is mentioned in the Bible, it's over 3,893 times. Just the word God. That doesn't include Lord, Heavenly Father, any of those, just God. And tonight, I want to take a look at a few of those 3,893 times. And if you're wondering where to turn in your Bible, you can catch me in Psalms chapter number 7. I'll be leading my way up to that. But I want to take some time this evening and look back on this year that we've just had. And I want to reflect on the Lord. Because to each and every one of us throughout this past year, God has meant something to us. And what do I mean by that? God is God. But to each of us, He's been more than just God. Maybe He's been a sustainer to us. Our Savior. He's been many different things to us. Now, we understand He's God, but He's meant more to us in one way or another. For instance, God has always been our Creator. As Genesis 1:1 says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And before the beginning of time, God created everything. And God has always been our Creator. He was the one who started all things, and He'll be the one to end all things. He's the one who created this beautiful earth we get to dwell on. He's also the one who created you and I. As Genesis 2:7 says this, and the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Not only did God create this earth, but He created you and I, and He gave us a living soul. Through the years, Man has been able to look back on where he came from. Now, obviously, today that's changed. They say we came from monkeys and things like that. But for those that believe in the Lord and trust in him, we know who we came from. We came from the Lord. And I'm thankful for where I came from. I'm thankful that I wasn't genetically modified by a blob, but I was created by a sovereign God. Not only are we thankful that God is our creator, but we should also be thankful that he was our savior. And God has always been our savior. And John chapter number 3, verse number 15 says this, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have eternal life. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Ever since Adam and Eve were in the garden and they sinned, God knew there had to be a sacrifice, an ultimate sacrifice, a sinless sacrifice. That was his only begotten son. God has always been our savior. He's been the one who saved us from our own sin. He's the reason we don't have to spend eternity in hell. God has always been our Savior. And I hope for those in this room, you have that settled, you have that taken care of tonight. You know God is your personal Savior, because that's an important issue to get taken care of, where you'll spend your eternity. And it's amazing that we can know God as our personal Savior. It's humbling. But to many of us, not only do we know God as our personal Savior who saved us from hell, but he's not only our eternal Savior, rather, he's also our temporal Savior. What do I mean by that? Well, Psalms chapter number 7, verse number 1 says this, O Lord my God, in thee do I put my trust. Save me from all them that persecute me and deliver me. Psalms chapter number 17, 6 that says this, I called upon thee, for thou wilt hear me, O God. Incline thine ear unto me and hear my speech. Psalms chapter 18, verse 2, the Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation and my high tower. Psalms 18, 6. In my distress, I called upon the Lord and cried unto my God, and he heard my voice out of his temple, and my cry came before him, even into his ears. God has always been our rock and our fortress. He's been the one that we've been able to rely on. He's the one we can go to in a time of need. He's the one we can go to in our time of distress. He's always been the one we can go to in difficulty. He's always been the one we can look up to, so you know which way to go. Sometimes our life and our path can get a little confusing, can it not? It seems like one day your direction in life is clear as day. You know which way you're going, and then another day, something happens, and it's like a fog comes over that path. Going, I don't know what to do. Which way do I go? We can always go to God, because he's been the one who's been able to guide us through. In times of uncertainty, God has always been the one we can look to. God has always been our guide. In Psalms chapter number 18, verse number 21 says this, for I have kept the ways of the Lord and not wickedly departed from my God. Psalms 18, 28, for thou wilt light my candle, the Lord my God will enlighten my darkness. Verse 29, for by thee I have run through a troop, and by my God have I leaped over walls. In verse number 30, as for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to all those that trust in him. When we keep the ways of the Lord, when we're faithful to Him, He'll always direct our path. We can always look to Him, and He will always guide His faithful children. We can always trust in Him because His ways are perfect. And, well, just to simply put it, God's been on this earth, and He's seen a lot more take place on this earth than you and I ever have. So, why wouldn't you trust Him? He's seen what man has done on this earth. He's seen the corruption that's taken place, but He's also seen how faithful man has been to Him. If He's seen all that, then He knows what your tomorrow holds. Why wouldn't you trust in Him? God has always been our guide. And not only has He been our guide through just life, He's also been our guide through difficult times too. God has always listened to our desperate cries. Psalms chapter number 30, verse number 2. O Lord, my God, I cried unto Thee, and Thou hast healed me. Psalms chapter number 38, 15. For in Thee, O Lord, do I hope. Thou wilt hear, O Lord, my God. In times of desperation, God has always heard the cry of His faithful children. God hears the cries of the hurting. God has always been a God who's been listening. He hears your cries. He hears those tears that are wept at night for the loved ones, those who are lost in sin or those who are sick. He hears your cries. He hears your prayers. Not only does He hear them, but God has been a comforting God and a caring God. 2 Corinthians chapter number 1, verse number 3 says this, Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercy and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulations, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. For as the suffering of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. And whether we be afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effectual in the enduring of the same suffering which we also suffer. Or whether we be comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation. Not only has God always been a listening God, but He's been a comforting God. And maybe throughout this past year in particular, something difficult has happened, something difficult has taken place, and you've seen God move in your life. You've seen Him as the great comforter. You've seen Him, you've watched Him work in your life to comfort you in ways that you could never imagine. God has always been a great comforter. He always knows what we need. Amen. Like a mother who knows what their crying child needs. I don't know this personally. I'm not a mother nor a father. But a mother always knows what their child needs. They know how to comfort them. It's almost like they read each other's minds sometimes. I don't know. I watched my sister do it with her son. It was a little weird. She just could hear the cry and she knew. God hears the cry and He knows. I remember when I was at Bible college, one of the years I was there, I was able to go home and to see my grandfather during spring break. And I came back on a Monday from spring break, and that Wednesday, I got a call that my grandfather had passed away. Now, this is not what comfort is, because when I got the news that my grandfather had passed away, I was sad and I was crying, and so I went to my best friend's room who's on the same floor as me, and I knocked on his door. And you all know Brother Caleb Reese, he's been here before. And so I knocked on his door and he could tell what's going on. You know when you have a good friend, when they can tell your disposition just by the way you walk in the door. And he said, what's going on, man? I said, I just found out my grandpa passed away. Now this was not great comfort. I love Caleb. But the hug he gave me was like, man, I feel like a sack of potatoes had more sympathy. Just Nothing was there. And I remember after I tried to seek comfort from my friend, I went back to my room and, well, church, I really wasn't comforted. I was hurting. I just needed comfort. And I remember I prayed, or I woke up the next morning still just, man, I don't know if I can do this today. And Brother Ray, I took my Bible, set it down for devotions, and I prayed and I just said, God, help me do today. Amen. Just help me with today. And I turned to 2 Corinthians chapter number 1. And I found in my life that God is the God of all comfort. Amen. Because he helped me get through that day. And I've seen him get me through many days. And maybe over this past year, you've seen that too. You've watched God move in certain ways in your life and get you through that day. We've all had those days. But maybe he's helped you get through that day. Like I said, he's a caring God. He listens to us and he comforts us. As Psalms 40, chapter number 40, 17 says this, "But I am poor and needy, yet the Lord thinketh upon me. Thou art my help and my deliverer. Make no tearing, O my God." Psalm chapter 44, verse 21, "Shall not God search this out? For he knoweth the secrets of the heart." God knows us so well. He knows the secrets of your and I's heart. Even when you were a little kid, and you maybe had a thought or something you haven't told anybody, God knows it because he cares. He's always cared. And I'm amazed at the fact that God always knows what we need. He knows how to comfort us and care for us when we're going through a hard time. Through the year, or through the years rather, I'm sure we have had hard times. But we've watched God bring us through those hard times. Not only has he brought us through, but he's also been our delight. In Psalms chapter number 40, verse number 8 says this, "I delight to do thy will, O my God, yea, thy law is within my heart." When we follow God and we stay faithful to God, we can be assured that we can delight in the Lord. He will be our happiness. He'll be our joy. And it should bring us delight that we can walk with our Heavenly Father. Many people in this world, or in this earth rather, they seek after earthly things to make them happy, do they not? We've all known that person who's a thrill seeker. We'll just call him that. They seek the thrills of this life. And it seems like one day they're filling their thrills doing this, and the next day it's something else, and it's something else. But isn't it great to know that we can just delight in the Eternal One, and our joy will never run out? It's consistent. You don't have to go seek something out to get a rush or to feel joy. You can just go to Him. I'm thankful that God's our delight. And He can be our source of joy and our source of comfort. And not only has God been our delight throughout the years, but He's also been a gracious God. As Psalms 51:10 says this, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me." And I'm thankful for how gracious God has been to me. Are you thankful for how gracious God has been to you throughout the years? We've all had times where we've messed up. Has anyone else, or am I just the only one? We've all had times where we've skunked it, like me when I missed my deer that I shot. We've all had times where we blew it. And before God, we said, "Lord, I'm sorry. I messed up." And aren't you thankful? He didn't say, "Well, sorry, Charlie, that's it." But he brought you back in graciously. He didn't bring back the haughty man. You come back to him humble. And God is there graciously to welcome you back. And for some of us, give us a second chance. God has always been a gracious God.
Amen.
And He's always been a dependable God. As Psalms chapter number 46, verse number 10 says, "This, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth." And Psalms chapter number 62, verses number 1 and 5 says this, "Truly my soul waiteth upon God. From Him cometh my salvation. My soul thou only upon God, for my expectation is from Him." He is a God that can be waited upon because He's a God that will always come through in His timing. He's dependable. You can trust Him.
Amen.
You can trust Him this year because you trusted Him last year. He hasn't changed. He's been dependable. He'll always be there to bring us through. God is always a God who's been dependable. And throughout not just this past year, but maybe many years, I hope we can take this time tonight and reflect back on what God has meant to you. Maybe for you, He's been your Creator. Maybe He's been your Savior. You've realized He's your Savior. Maybe you've realized He's a guiding God. He's a constant listener. He's a great comforter and caregiver. He's the one who can bring you delight. He's been gracious to you, and He's always been dependable. And can I just say it simply that throughout the years, God has always been faithful.
Amen.
To you and to me. God has always been faithful. He's always been there since the beginning of time. He's been the one who's been your Savior to save you from your sin. He's always been the one to guide you through the lowest valleys and over the highest mountains. He's the one who's been there to listen to your tear-filled prayers for those you love and care for. He has been the one to bring you great comfort and great sorrow. He's always been the one to care for your needs, great or small. He's the one who's been able to bring you joy. He's the one who can give you grace. He's the one who we can depend on. And like I said, He's the one who has always been faithful to you and I. We may have failed Him, but He's never failed us, church. And looking back on maybe just this past year, simply just one year, I hope we can see and realize that God has been the one who got us through last year. Once again, those words, when the year is fresh and new, or rather, when the holiday is through and the year is fresh and new, is not the year fresh and new? What will linger are the moments spent just worshiping Him.
Amen.
You might forget an event that takes place in your life throughout the years, but could it be said that you don't ever forget the times where God revealed something to you in His Word? Or there was a time God got you through a certain event, and you remember that event, clear as day. You can't remember someone's birthday, but you can remember the verse that God showed you to help you get through that day. Lastly, God has always been a God deserving of our praise. Psalms chapter number 67, verses 3 and 5 says this, "Let the people praise Thee, O God, let all the people praise Thee. Let the people praise Thee, O God, let all the people praise Thee." God has done so much for you and I simply throughout this past year or years. And I think it's only fitting that we give praise to Him. I know here recently I spent some time just praising God for how good He's been to me throughout the year. I cried. Because when you start thinking about everything God's done in your life and how good He's been to you, how can you not be humbled by that? How can you not be thankful for those times he's got you through? I hope tonight, if not after the service, maybe in the privacy of your own home, you take some time before this new year kicks off and reflect on those moments of how good God has been to each and every one of us.
Amen.
Let's pray. Dear God, gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for this day, and Lord, for the members of New Heights and their faithfulness to show up this evening. And Lord, it's evident that you've worked in each and every one of our lives, and Lord, you've always been a faithful God and a caring God to us. And Lord, would you help us to take this time and reflect on how good you've been to us, and to never forget how good you've been to us. Bless the rest of this evening. In Jesus' name, amen.